Good day, and welcome to the Barratt Trading Update Analyst and Investor Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Thomas. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. As usual, I've got Neil here with me. Today, we're updating on trading for the period from the 1st of July through to the 13th of November. So just to start off, that overall, we see that market conditions have remained very healthy. We're supported by strong consumer demand and great mortgage availability. We've seen an increase in our net private reservations per active outlet of 4%. Forward sales are also very encouraging, and including joint ventures, total over 2.6 billion. We particularly like to note wholly owned forward sales up strongly by nearly 20%. Operationally, we see that the business is performing well and we continue to lead on customer service and construction excellence. We have maintained our HBF 5-star status for the 7th consecutive year, and our site managers won more NHBC Pride in the Job Awards than any other house builder for the 12th consecutive year. At the AGM this afternoon, as previously announced, we have proposed a record dividend payment of £248 million, and that will take the total for the year to £308 million. So let me give you a little bit more detail. Our net private reservations per active outlet per week increased to 0.74 from 0.71. We've launched 69 developments in the period, and we're currently operating from 385 sites compared to 380 at the same point last year. Our net private reservations per week were in line with the prior year at 265. Whilst overall sales remain strong, as previously outlined, higher-end London sales have become more challenging. And as such, we have taken some pricing action on some of our higher-selling price sites. We've also taken further action to de-risk London delivery, including an exchanged build and sale agreement on a bespoke development of 39 apartments for a total value of £47 million. These actions may impact our gross margin ratio achieved in FY17, but they also reduce the delivery risk profile. We see that the land market remains very attractive. We continue to secure land opportunities that meet or exceed our minimum hurdle rates. We've approved around £200 million of operational land during the period. That's just under 2,900 plots. This is a lower number than we would normally expect over the period, but it just reflects the cautionary stance that we took immediately following the referendum. We expect to approve around 15,000 plots in the full year, and we remain on track to achieve our targeted 3.5-year owned land bank for the year end. Bear in mind that in FY16, we approved just over 24,000 plots. On strategic land, we've approved options on 15 sites or 4,258 plots. We are on track to achieve our target of 20% completions from strategic land for FY17. And we continue to target 25% of completions from strategic in the medium term. So looking forward, we remain positive on outlook. We are on track to achieve our medium-term target of a minimum return on capital employed of 25%, and we are focused on our 20% gross margin target for the full year. But we do recognise that the high-end London market presents some specific challenges. The strong performance and cash generation of the business is reflected in our payments that will take the proposed total dividend payment to over £300 million. And we continue to expect to return close to £1 billion to shareholders over the 3 years of our capital return programme. So there is no doubt that the business is performing well and we continue to operate in a very supportive market environment. Neil and I will now be happy to take any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our first question from Mark Howson from HSBC. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Mark.
Just a couple of things. Can you give us a feel for, obviously, in the light of the, I think you, on the press I can see you talking about potentially, you know, 5 to 10% off, in the central London to, you know, to get things out and recycle the capital, which is an understandable thing to do. But can you give us a feel for where you think that JV line will be in 17 and, has that a guidance sort of views on that changed from where we were before? We go previously. I think talking about 45 million from last year was 72. Can you give us a feel for your views on 17? That's the first question.
Mark, hi, good morning. I mean, I think the short answer is there's no change on that guidance. I mean, we gave very specific guidance in September.
Yeah.
So we said the JV line would be around 700 completions and around £45 million of profit. So no change on that position.
Good. And secondly, just in terms of the dividend statement, obviously it's good to see that you're sticking with 125 and 175 for the year after. But, I mean, you still sort of, there's a presentation a week or so ago from Persimmon that, you know, highlighted that under sort of quite tough scenarios, they were prepared to pay out, their dividends as they have been, even if the dividend was uncovered from in income statement perspective, as long as the cash was there in advance, and also they stopped buying land, they're happy to do that. I mean, what's your view? Where do you sit with that? And obviously, the 3x cover on the ordinary dividend.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I think just in brief, I mean, we obviously set out back in originally in calendar 13 that we would move to a dividend policy of 3x cover. And I think at that time we outlined that in the 10 years up to 2007, our policy had been around 5x cover. So quite a big shift for us in terms of the ordinary cover. And I think that was just reflecting at the time that we saw that the pace of growth of the business would be, you know, perhaps at a slower rate than we'd seen back in the early 2000s. The second thing that we then outlined in 14 was the special dividend program. And we said that we saw that we had surplus cash over a 3-year period of around £400 million. Now, as you know, we're just about to make the second payment under that program. And we've said that we'll keep that position under review. I mean, we see that 1/3 cover is a very appropriate policy. And we've said that we'll continue to look at the extent to which there is surplus cash that can be distributed, and that's something that the board will look at on an ongoing basis.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
We will now take our next question from Andy Murphy from Bank of America. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning, guys. I've got 3 questions. I'll keep on a dividend tack first of all. Just interested to know what the timing is perhaps around any refresh of guidance in terms of a 3-year dividend. Will you wait until perhaps the full year results next year before you announce anything to the market? Secondly, on site numbers, it looks like you're expected to be flat year on year. Just wondering whether you're signalling that in terms of site numbers that you've reached your optimum size, or whether you're likely to see that edging forward over a period of time. And then finally, on the forward sales element, would it be fair to say that trying to back out the price moves in the forward sales, that private's up around 14 and social about 7? Could you confirm or give us some steer around those figures, please?
Okay. I think, Andy, sorry, just before we answer, can we just go back over that third question again? So just run that past me again on forward sales.
Yeah, I was just looking for the growth in the average selling price, private versus social, in the forward order book.
Yeah, sorry, okay, yeah, no, I understand. Okay, so I think in terms of dividend, I mean, look, it's obviously something that sits with the board, but my sense would be that the board are likely to look at this thing in terms of full year results. I mean, that's how we've positioned it previously. So I think it's more likely to be at September than any other time. But clearly we'll update you if there's any change on that. In terms of site numbers, I mean the first thing I would say is that, you know, I am very pleased that we're in a situation that our site numbers are ahead on a year-on-year basis. So we're saying in overall terms 385 sites compared to about 380 in the prior year. We're guiding that for the whole year we think average site numbers will be around flat on a year-on-year basis. But nonetheless, I think we've had good momentum in terms of site openings. I don't think it indicates a ceiling on site numbers. I mean, I think we've said historically that we think site numbers can operate certainly above 400. So I don't think 385 is in any way a ceiling in terms of site numbers. And in terms of the forward sales position, I think Neil will comment on the forward sales position.
Yeah, in terms of your point about social versus private, I mean, what is it about the individual price point of each line that you're commenting on, or the balance?
Well, just really what inflation you're seeing in the order book in terms of the ASP.
Okay, yeah. If you look at the wholly owned data, I mean, we are seeing a relatively high move in terms of private from somewhere around 290 this point last year to around 330 this year. Now, that's on private. Now, I mean, I'd clearly be cautious. That does not reflect underlying house price inflation and is much more a factor of the mix. And in that context, I would remind you that we talked at the prelims about London in particular having a higher skew to higher value stock just because of the mix of sites coming down the line. I think when you then move to look at affordable, there is a little bit of growth in that affordable ASP, you know, somewhere around 114 plays 120, but that is much more about the skew of sites. I don't think you can read that as a view on underlying inflation.
Okay, yeah, great. I mean,
as Neil touched on, we said in September that on the private forward sales, in relation to London, you've got a reduction in terms of joint ventures, which you can clearly see in the forward order book. What you're seeing coming through in the wholly owned order book are sites like Blackfriars and Landmark Place, where the average selling prices are relatively high, and that's clearly going to skew the overall averages.
Okay, great. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Gavin Jago from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents. Just a few if I could, please. The first one is just on the pricing action you've taken in central London. I wonder if you could give us an idea of kind of the timing of that, if it's kind of coming recently and to what extent you've seen kind of buyers reacting to that. Has it stimulated the demand that you know, you were obviously pushing these prices down for? The second one's on build costs. Just wondering your kind of expectations, have they changed at all? Certainly in light of kind of Sterling's move and whether the kind of the mix is likely to change between material and labour as we kind of move through 2017. And the final one's just on land spend. Obviously there's been a pickup in kind of your activity post the referendum. I was wondering if there's been any kind of particular areas of focus or areas that you're still kind of staying away from.
Okay, so if I pick up, good morning, Gavin. If I pick up the pricing action and land spend, and Neil will cover the build cost. So just, I mean, on the pricing action, so again, just to put it in context, and I appreciate that everyone is pretty aware of the context, but, you know, in London, we have around 20 sites. In Zone 1 and Zone 2, or edge of Zone 2, such as Aldgate and Nine Elms, we have 7 or 8 sites in London. So we've taken pricing action on some of those sites, clearly not all of those sites. For example, Landmark Place or Blackfriars are relatively new sites from a sales point of view, selling very strongly. We've not taken any price action in terms of downward price action on those sites. In terms of price reductions on sites, within the last 6 or 8 weeks, and we would say that, yes, there has been some pickup, but it's early days, and we've got to obviously look at it over a period of time to see if that's sustainable. But I think the pickup that we've seen on the limited number of sites has been pretty encouraging over the last few weeks.
Okay.
In terms of land spend, I mean, we flagged on land that back in September, I think Neil guided overall expenditure at round about $1 billion in terms of cash spend. We've noted in the announcement this morning, which I'm sure is not a surprise, that we're a little bit down on a year-on-year basis from where we would expect to be, because we had a pause running through July and August post the referendum. We're confident that we can get through about 15,000 approvals for June. But bear in mind that, as I mentioned on the overview at the beginning, that in FY16, we approved 24,000 plots. And clearly, a lot of those plots are now feeding through into the mix and therefore coming through in terms of that land spend of $1
billion. In terms of build cost, Gavin, I mean, I think we talked about around 2 to 3% earlier in the year. I think what we're seeing is... bearing in mind around 90% of our purchases are in sterling, so we do have some exposure to currency. But of course, underneath the 90% in sterling invoice, some of those inputs for those individual suppliers will have their own pressures, and energy in particular also. So I think we're expecting to be higher on materials this year than we were last year, but I still think we're comfortable with the 3% build cost inflation when you factor in the impact of labour. I think last year we saw higher labour and minimal materials. This year we're going to see a reduction in the rate of inflation on labour. That's not to say negative, but the pace of inflation will, we think, be slightly abated, but materials will be slightly higher. So still around the 3% mark, but a slightly different mix for those reasons.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. I had a couple related to pricing, please, if I could. First, just around just the outer London business and 600,000 and below, which I think covers 70-odd% of your product. Can you just comment on, I guess, generally just conditions there, but to what extent pricing is moving, particularly I'm thinking relative to, say, June? And then perhaps if you can just comment sequentially on the strength you're seeing in the Midlands and the North again, to what extent that's allowing any price movement again in the last kind of 3 to 6 months. And then, and secondly, just coming back on this point about the private ASP in the order book, if I think last year I think you said it was about 290, which we can see obviously from your detail, which ended up being about the P&L ASP on private that you had for the full year. When we look today up at 330, clearly that's way above, I would imagine, what anyone's got in their numbers for the private ASP and the P&L this year. And maybe it is that Landmark Place and Blackfriars are for later completion, but can you just maybe just update us on how we should think about that number in the context of the private ASP for June 17, please?
Okay, well, I mean, if I cover the first bit in terms of what we're seeing on pricing generally, and then Neil can cover the sort of private ASP and the guidance for the current year. So, I mean, I think in terms of London, first of all, I mean, we have, as you said, the majority of our product would be below £600,000. I think we flagged previously that if you look at sites like Catford, for example, or West Hendon, all of the product would be below 600,000. Demand has been very, very strong, and we would have seen some price improvements, both year on year and also since June. So I think that's a very encouraging position in terms of the below 600,000 price point. When you look at the sort of regional market, I mean, we've sort of drawn out Northern and Midlands, but I would say generally the regional markets overall are very strong. I think there is no doubt that Northern has been particularly strong. So the north of England and Scotland, we're seeing sales trends that are very significantly up on a year-on-year basis. And that is resulting in some pricing improvements. Overall for the business, I'd say that whether you're looking at it year on year or you're looking at it since June, we're seeing a little bit of pricing improvement on an overall basis.
Okay. Just in terms of the forward order book, I mean, as we've indicated, we do have the benefit of that higher price London stock that we flagged, that the mix of sites coming towards us for 17 would put a bit of pressure on that, is driving that forward order book. The guidance we gave at the prelims was for to base your views based on the ASP in the land bank, which was around 261. That is, of course, the average across the whole life of the land bank. So looking at how the orders are coming in, I think we will have a bit of upward pressure on that just because of the London mix. But of course, it does depend on how London sales go as well. So I don't want to be definitive at this stage. There's still quite a bit of the year to go. But I think looking at how the forward order book is shaping up and how that London mix is driving the average selling price up a little in terms of the orders we've got in the satchel, there is, I think, the potential to see that number float up a little bit.
Right. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our next question from Charlie Campbell from Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning. Just one question from me, really. That was on the gross margin. You've sort of repeated guidance or an ambition to get to a 20% gross margin for the full year. But it seems to me the price action you've taken in London will have a bigger impact on the second half gross margin than the first. So should we expect you to hit the 20% gross margin in the first half and then it's then off that a bit in the second half because of the price action you've just taken in London? Is that the right way to look at it, or am I missing anything in that?
Well, I suppose, Charlie, we're probably not getting into that level of detail on the call, you know, in terms of first half, second half. I mean, I think if you look at the gross margin, I mean, we set the targets back in 14 for FY17. We said that we wanted to get to 25% return on capital and a 20% gross margin. And I said in September in the Q&A that, you know, we'd never said that the 20% was going to be easy. If you look at our gross margin historically, I think for the group, the highest gross margin that we've ever reported is about 20.5%. We're still seeing a reasonable percentage of legacy land coming through the P&L, which is obviously diluting the gross margin in the year to June 17. Yep. So I think what we wanted to do this morning, rather than simply set out first half, second half, I think it was more about saying that we are still focused on trying to achieve that 20%, but we do see that there is potentially some downside risk, primarily coming out of London. So I think we'll have to see how that evolves during the second half of the year, where, as you say, you would expect a more significant delivery from the London business in the second half of the year.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Okay.
We will now take our next question from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Morning, David. Morning, Neil. If I may. Going back to the land market, and you know, that's obviously sort of post-Brexit, I'm just trying to sort of get a flavour for, are you already back at the sort of run rate you want, or are you still sort of going up through the gears in terms of sort of, you know, buying land, and have you sort of tweaked what you want to buy, and then are you looking at hurdle rates again, was the sort of first one. And the second one was really, can you just sort of say a little bit about where, sort of, I suppose, sort of cancellation rates and visitor levels, both sort of on site and sort of website have sort of gone to over the last couple of months?
Okay, well, I mean, I think in terms of, if you take the second one first, I mean, in terms of the cancellation rates and the visitor levels, I mean, nothing unusual to report. I mean, we're obviously monitoring both of those on a week-to-week basis, but we've not seen anything unusual, I mean, either in London or out of London, in terms of any pickup in cancellation rates, or indeed visitor levels. I think it's just consistent with the fact that overall, we're seeing an increase in the reservation rates of 4 or 5%. In terms of the land market, I mean, there's no doubt it's taken us time to rebuild some momentum. So I think if you wanted to be quiet in the land market, then July and August would definitely be months to be quiet in the land market. There's clearly not a huge amount of activity in August in any event. So I think when we look at where we are in October in terms of offers made and offers accepted, we see that we're absolutely back in terms of the sort of momentum that we need. So we're guiding for the full year to 15,000 approvals with, as I said, 24,000 last year. So we're going to be pretty much 40,000 across the 2 years. And that looks very doable, but we are absolutely saying to the divisions, look, you need to get back out and make sure that you are securing land to ensure that we've got land for the growth targets going forward. In terms of hurdle rates, I mean, we've moved our hurdle rates at various points over the last, I suppose, 4 or 5 years now. Most recently, we moved them slightly in the first half of the calendar year prior to the referendum. But we haven't moved them since the referendum. And I think we'd need to see, you know, plenty of approvals coming through before we'd look to move them again, since our move earlier in 16.
Okay. Can I have a follow-up as well on, you know, I think Sajid Javid has obviously sort of, you know, been poking sticks again at, you know, the main house builders, the big three in particular, about the sort of lack of volume growth that the three have in particular, you've been earmarked, as well as the industry as a whole. But, you know, what is sort of, I suppose, your fear in the budget, if you've got any at all, that, you know, yet another team of ministers is sort of coming in and accusing you of land banking and not upping output? I mean, what's your biggest worry that you might get next week?
I don't think we've got a lot of worries, as it were, with regard to next week. I mean, clearly, we'll need to see what's said regarding next week. I mean, our message in terms of the autumn statement has simply been to say that we think more of the same would be good. So Help to Buy, a focus in terms of the planning system and the land release program would be really all we would be looking for. We can see that there are measures that have already been announced, and there may be strengthening of those measures in terms of the medium and small house builders. In terms of the commentary, I mean, we understand that, you know, the government is very, very keen that the level of house building is increased for everyone, for the UK. And that has to come from all places. I mean, that's got to be about local authorities. That has to be about the registered providers, small, medium, and large house builders. I mean, we believe that our record of delivery in terms of Barratt, we've grown volumes by 55% over 5 years. We've grown volumes in the last 2 years by 15%. So I think our volume stats stand up well with any of the other house builders. But we're also saying to government, look, you've got to be very focused on quality. So you can't just be in a situation that the only target you've got is volume. We know that the UK built 400,000 houses on a couple of occasions during the 60s, and I don't think anyone would be too proud of the quality. So there has to be a balance between the delivery of volume and the delivery of quality, and that's a message that we're delivering very firmly to government.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from John Bell from Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents. I've got three, I think. First of all, I wonder whether you've got...
John, you're very faint.
Is that better? Can you hear me now?
That's you're loud and clear now.
Good, thank you. Three from me if I can. First of all, on whether you've got any thoughts on concrete brick use. One of your peers seems to be moving further down that avenue. Secondly, on London, just to help us on the price action point, would it be fair to say that the price cuts that you're making are broadly equal to the increase in stamp duty that we've seen at those price points in the last couple of years? And then thirdly, any guidance on cash at the end of December?
Okay, thanks, John. Yeah, that was all very clear. So if I do one and two in terms of bricks and pricing action, and Neil can just cover cash in terms of December. I mean, look, we've seen the announcement from Persimmon, and we know that Persimmon have, for a period of time, they've had more vertical integration than any of the other house builders. So clearly they have a big facility in terms of space for timber. And to be honest, I think it's been widely trailed that Persimmon have been looking at a brick facility over the last probably 18 months, 2 years. So from our point of view, I think it's really more for Persimmon to comment on. We are not a user of concrete bricks, but clearly concrete bricks have a big place in the market, and there is significant use of concrete bricks within the marketplace. Our view would be that anything that takes pressure off the supply chain is a good thing. So whether it be concrete bricks or whether it be timber, it all takes pressure off the supply chain. So from that point of view, it has to be a positive. If there's more capacity in the industry for bricks or timber frames or anything else, I mean, we have a small facility in-house where we produce our own bedroom furniture, wardrobes, and so we use that exclusively, and I'm sure that takes some pressure off in terms of the supply of wardrobes. So all of that stuff has got to be good for the industry. In terms of price action, I'd say typically that price action has probably been a little above a level of 3%. So, you know, we've seen comments in the market about prices where people are taking price action, it being more in the order of 5 to 10%. But bear in mind that, you know, it's zone one for us, it's 7 or 8 developments. We haven't taken price action on all of those developments. And it's just a question of looking at the particular characteristics, which is probably about local supply compared to local demand, and therefore taking appropriate price action in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't guided on half year yet, or at all, John, in terms of cash. I mean, I'll remind you, all we've said on cash is we expect to be cash positive in line with our wider balance sheet strategies by the end of fiscal 17, which is obviously June. That all said, I think we will be drawn at the half year, you know, difficult to give you an exact number, but probably by around £100 million in debt. I mean, we run typically £200 to £300 million on average indebtedness in any event through an average year. And I think that's broadly where we'll be at the half year. So I'm not expecting to have a lot of cash in hand at the half year.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Kevin Cammack from Sandcoast. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, gents. and I apologise in advance because these are very anal questions, I'm afraid, but I'm just sort of slightly scratching my head on a couple of things regarding London. Firstly, to be clear, when you talk about price adjustment, are you talking about, you know, headline asking price or price less incentives? Are they mutually exclusive in this exercise or not? First one. Do you want me to do the other two?
Yes, please. It'll give us more time to think.
The second one is just going back to the bulk sale that you've exchanged. And it was in reference to that when you were speaking that you brought up the subject of gross margin impact. As an example, can you, you know, are you prepared to tell us what the gross margin differential on that sale was as against what you would have budgeted your sale? And the last one, which again, you know, it's my own stupidity, I'm sure, but when I look at the JV line on the forward sales, and I look at your JVs, you know, predominantly they're very much London centric, but the pure arithmetic on the forward sale JVs gives you an average selling price of less than your subsidiary PD sales. And I'm just sort of trying to tie that up. How, you know, it just seems incredibly an incredibly low number for what is, you know, for what I always understood to be basically London sales.
Okay. Fine. Kevin,
said,
sorry, can
you
I?
You know, they're not that, you know, they're just bloody anal, aren't they, really? They're not terribly relevant questions, but I'm a bit foxed by it.
Kevin, no, not at all. Could I just ask, could you just go back on the first one in terms of price action?
Right, to be very clear, when you're talking about reduced prices on a selective number of central London sites, are you talking about headline price cut, or are you talking about the effective price cut, including incentives? Because obviously you're advertising a couple of sites that we can all see in the papers with stamp paid and all that sort of thing. So what I'm after is, is that comment about price cut mutually exclusive to what you're doing on incentives, or is it inclusive?
Right. Okay, fine. Well, I think that comment is inclusive of what we're doing on incentives. So it's essentially looking at, you know, our net price position. And there would be very few of them, you know, two or three sites that we were offering stamp duty paid, you know, that would be a very good example of a site where we're taking price action. Those adverts would run and you would see those, and they would run from other developers as well. So it is very specific, but it is on a net basis. And generally, we've tended to find that stamp duty paid can be a significant incentive. And beyond that, it probably tends to be an actual reduction in price. I don't think this is about saying, you know, we'll provide you with floor coverings and carpets. So it's more significant than that, but on a very limited number of sites. And as we touched on earlier, you know, probably initially incepted 6 or 8 weeks ago, it's early days, and we'll see how it goes. But we want to make sure that we've got appropriate rates of sale relative to our build programs. And although there's some scope to always slow build, there's limits to how you can slow build on sites and still be cost effective. In terms of bulk sales,
so far your view would be that you've got traction on what you've done so far. You've seen some traction.
Yeah, very definitely. Yes, very definitely. We've had good traction, good sales in London. And, I'd say generally the sales trends in London over the last 5 or 6 weeks have been encouraging. In terms of the bulk sale, I'm not going to go into the detail of the specific bulk sale, but I think what would be fair to say is that we've got a couple of very tangible moving parts on general and a bulk sale. So first of all, in recent past, we have done two significant bulk sales. We undertook a bulk sale at Nine Elms, which we signed in December 14, and we undertook a bulk sale at Enderby Wharf, which we signed in August 15. So these are not, you know, new initiatives. These are things that are a feature of our business. Both of those bulk sales were undertaken on joint venture sites, and therefore wouldn't have impacted in terms of gross margin, but would have impacted joint venture delivery. This bulk sale is a wholly owned site, 39 apartments, and therefore it would impact our gross margin. The benefit that we are seeing from that is certainty of sale, so big tick. Secondly, some slightly altered cash flows. So rather than 10% on exchange and the balance on completion, we're seeing a slightly better cash flow, and it should be built and sold through by June 17. Uh-huh. And thirdly, because it is effectively the whole site, we haven't had to set up a sales office. We haven't had to allocate sales advisors, a show flat or anything. So therefore, from that point of view, yes, negative on gross, but when we look at it on a post-interest basis, we're very happy it's the right thing to do. And I think Neil's going to answer in relation to the JV.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple of things that are driving what you're seeing. I think the first, and I'll preface all of this by saying that of our 11 JV sites, around 50% are non-London. So I think that's okay. Just a point to note. But I think there's a combination of factors. Firstly, we are seeing a higher share of affordable within that JV line, and as a percentage of the total. And secondly, the average affordable unit in the book is lower than at the same point last year. So that's the first general comment. The second general comment is that the share of reservations from London in that book is also smaller than it was at the same point last year. So you've got less London weighting in that number. You've got a higher affordable weighting, and the affordable in and of itself, just because of the mix of sites involved, is lower.
Okay, that's fine. All right, thanks for the help. Very good.
All right, no,
not at all. I mean, Kevin, you need to bear in mind, I mean, as Neil talked about in outline, Milton Keynes, we have a very significant joint venture in Milton Keynes with Places for People. So that is producing significant units. I think Milton Keynes standalone last year was about 250 units off one site. So that will be a big part of the JV forward order book.
And I would, you know, just reiterate, we had flagged and we are continuing to flag much reduced volumes from the JVs in 17 versus 16.
Again, thanks.
Okay. No, not at all. Problem. Thanks, Kevin.
We will now take our next question from Andy Murphy from Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. Hello again. It's just another question on London. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the sort of location or origin of the buyers that you're seeing, whether you're seeing more or less overseas buyers registering an interest or actually making purchases given the change in the currency.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point in time, Andy, we've not seen anything by way of a step up. So I'd say probably pretty neutral. So two things to add to that. One is, for the first time in March, well, first time as far as I'm aware, in March 16, we employed an international sales director, not something that Barrett has previously had within our London business. And that international sales team are now marketing into more overseas locations than we have previously done. So that's giving us more reach, but it will take time for that necessarily to feed through in terms of sales. I think we're seeing some evidence of increase in sales. So for example, 2 years ago, 12 months ago, we would not have been marketing into the Middle East. We would have been typically focused on Singapore, Hong Kong, and mainland China. And therefore, we're broadening our reach now into the Middle East. We've also been marketing into Turkey, into Russia, for example. I think what we have seen a pickup of in terms of interest has been an interest in terms of PRS funded by overseas money, typically dollar-denominated money. But that, again, from our perspective, that doesn't seem to have filtered through yet in terms of completed transactions. But I would imagine as we move into 17, then there may be some completed transactions that start to come through. But you would assume that if you're US dollar denominated, everything looks a bit more attractive than it did pre-June.
Sure. Just on that subject of overseas offices and overseas sales, do you get any pushback from the government on that? Because clearly, you know, the government want more houses built, but I assume for the domestic consumption, yet you know, the sector is selling abroad in some cases. Does the government, in your conversation with them, give you any pushback on that?
I think probably mainly through the mayor's office. I mean, there was an agreement signed by a number of the house builders. We were one of the signatories to the agreement in 2015 that we would market all developments to the UK first. And, you know, the vast majority of developers in London are signed up to that agreement, which the mayor at the time, Boris Johnson, really was pushing for. So I think there is a commitment from Barratt and a commitment from many of the house builders that they'll market UK first. And I think that's reasonable. I mean, if you're marketing on a UK first basis and you see the initial demand from the UK, and then if you have surplus supply, particularly at the high end, then to market it overseas commercially makes a lot of sense.
On that agreement, what is the basic sort of parameters around that? And do you have to market in the UK for a day, a week, a month? How does that pan out in reality?
Well, I mean, I think it's in essence offering it in the UK first. So, I mean, there's not a time, as I understand it, there's not a time commitment. You don't need to market it in the UK for a certain number of days or weeks, but you simply need to make product available in the UK initially.
Right. Okay, thanks.
I mean, sorry, Andy, just to add to that, I mean, bear in mind again that when you look at our footprint of sites in London, the majority of our sites would have no overseas purchasers. So if we've got 20 sites in London and we've got 7 or 8 sites in Zone 1, edge of Zone 2, we've got, you know, 12 or 13 sites that just wouldn't have overseas purchasers on them. And therefore, it's predominantly down to probably 5 or 6 sites that are being marketed overseas.
Right, okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions over the audio.
Okay, all right, everyone. Thank you very much for dialing in, and we will be back to update you again in January. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.